Genesis chapter 26. The guys did say they would probably remember it better, so I decided to bring it in. So Genesis chapter 26, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord is with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, and that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to give us to look at your word. So kind of just do a Bible study tonight. And God, I pray that you would clear my thoughts. Help me to present this the way, Lord, I ought to. Help me to honor you. Help me to only say what I ought to, God. I pray that you'd help our preacher in a special way. Thank you for him. Thank you for the honor it is to stand here and preach your word. And God, I pray just be a blessing and encouragement to the people here tonight. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope by reason of deduction, after what we just read, you kind of got the idea of what is behind me, okay? I'm kind of a pack rat. I don't know if I'm quite the hoarder stage, but I'm kind of a pack rat. And so I keep all kinds of junk. And I come by it naturally. If you go to my dad's barns, there is all kinds of stuff in there. Now, you know, a lot of people are they're very much the opposite of me as far as they're very organizational people. And if they're not going to use it and they haven't used it in a year, they're going to throw it away. That's not me, because as soon as I throw it away, I'll need it in like 1 or 2 weeks. And it just seems like that's the way it is for me. And I was in my dad's barn, and I seen this contraption. This isn't the whole thing, but this is a large part of it. And I'm like, Dad, what is that? He's like, Well, I was helping somebody move, and I picked it up. It was in their barn. They didn't want it, so I picked it up and brought it home. Good enough explanation for me. And I was like, What is it? And he's like, Well, it's you're supposed to be able to drill a well with it. I'm like, I'm all about that. And I was like, Okay, well, you know. So it was kind of always been in the back of my mind that I would like to do this. Try it. Just try it sometime and see. Right. And I like to try to think outside the box. I like to try to be, I don't want to be, you know, obviously we ought to be sufficient on, you know, we ought to be dependent upon God. But I also realize how fragile our, for lack of a better term, our grid system is, and our infrastructure is in our country. So when we built our house, I put in a cistern, and I have a water cistern, but that's only 2,000 gallons. And quite honestly, in a family of six, 2,000 gallons doesn't last a real long time. And it was water that we could drink. It was water that I felt comfortable drinking. We ran it through a filter. We drink that water all the time. That's why I twitch periodically. No, but we drink that water. We drink that water all the time. And but I thought, you know, I don't have to have, if that's our drinking water and we can drink that water, I don't necessarily need that water if I wanted to flush a toilet or, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, I don't really care that my chickens and my dogs and my livestock drink that better water. They can drink other water. So one day I decided I'm gonna do this. So I went up to Dad's house and I got this piece of metal. And it had a motor on it. The motor didn't run. So I went to good old Harbor Freight. And I actually was able to almost bolt it up directly. Got an auger and it bolted up. And it's got a mud pump on it. And so basically the theory is it's got... there's a motor here, and it goes all the way to the top, and you put a 5-foot piece of pipe on it. And I didn't have a bit, so I welded one up out of trencher teeth so I could have the carbide on it. So I welded one up, and I would drill down 5 feet, and then you just like, honestly, like the big drill rigs, except they're drilling 20 foot in a shot instead of 5 foot. Obviously, it takes me longer. And so I drill down 5 feet, and then I'd have to put another pipe on, and I'd drill down 5 feet, and I'd have to put another pipe on, and 5 feet, and I'm doing pretty good. And I'm getting to where I'm drilling through sandstone with it, and I'm drilling through some different shales and different rock. And a lot of it, if you start researching it, you can tell kind of where you're at, how deep you are, even by the geology, what is at that level. In fact, if just for informational, you can actually, if you're curious about wells in your area, there is a website, you can go on a website, and they, professional well drillers, actually have to log when they drill wells. They have to get permits, and they will tell you at what distance they hit water, they will tell you how deep that well is, and it's pretty interesting. So I roughly knew where I was going to pretty much hit water at, or where my water table was, and so we was able to, and I basically got down to about 24 feet is about where I got, and my bit that I had built started coming apart, and at that point, I was pretty happy, honestly, with where I was at, because you go much farther than that, and a shallow well pump actually don't have enough head to pull water out from deeper than that anyway, so I was pretty happy with that. And then I thought, you know, I never had studied wells in the Bible. And so I thought I'd do a study on wells and different wells, and then just some thoughts that maybe God had, you know, I'm sitting there, you kind of have to hold on to this thing, and I don't know, honestly, if it was a good investment of my time, quite honestly, but it was a good experience. Nothing crazy went wrong. I have a 2-inch trash pump that I was using. So basically what the theory is there's water that pumps down the center, that pipe that I was talking about, there's water that pumps down the center of that pipe. And it goes all the way to the bottom of the hole, and it flushes all your cuttings up out of the hole. And that's actually what makes all that work. And so I have a 2-inch trash pump. And the only exciting moment in the whole thing, my pipe come off the 2-inch trash pump, and I had it pointing straight up. And, 2-inch trash pump moves a lot of water real fast. And then you can't, you know, it's kind of one of those things you run away from it because you can't, you know how, like, you feel like the dam's unplugged and you're trying to hold it in and you're getting soaked at the same time. So that's kind of the way I felt. But I did kind of almost, I wish I had a picture of it. I felt like Jed Clampett hitting oil. Like, I mean, like the whole geyser thing coming up out of the ground. It was pretty, at first I thought, man, I hit an awesome water vein. And then I'm like, oh, that's just my trash pump. So that was kind of disappointing. But it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to be able to get water, to be able to drill a 5-inch hole in the ground, and I can pump clear water out of that hole. That's pretty neat. Yep. It's kind of a peace of mind thing that I know that, hey, you know, if electricity goes out, and you know, if you're on city water, the electricity goes out, and you have until the water towers run out, and then you're out of water too. So it's kind of nice to be able to know, hey, I got at least a little bit of backup. But I got thinking about the well and drilling the well, and I've got, I got 7 or 8. They're quick. 7 or 8 thoughts about the well drillers. The well drillers. Because in the Bible, the wells were important. And the wells today are important. Most of you, most of us, are honestly, very few of you, I mean, I know Brother Klein is, I may be speaking out of turn here, but I would say Brother Klein is probably the only one that is dependent on spring water for your water source. Most of the rest of us either have a private well or you are part of a municipal that pulls their water from a well. And so all of us, honestly, are very much dependent on these wells. Whether you see that well or you don't see that well, we are dependent on them. So I'm going to give you these things tonight. And I think you'll kind of get the gist of where I'm going with this tonight. But I believe that wells are a place of, first of all, I believe that wells are a place of foresight. Of foresight. Realize that wells are dug because of the foresight of somebody or their immediate need. They go to a place and say, we need water here. And so they drill a well, or it's somebody that goes and says, we're going to need water here. And so they drill a well. So a well is a place of foresight. They know they need it at the moment, or they know that they need the water in the future. It's interesting here in Genesis chapter number 26. I think this is an amazing correlation here for where we're at. I think this is neat because we are in our 50th anniversary. And I appreciate Brother Young. I didn't ask him to. Brother Young sang the song. The last song we sang was Faith of Our Fathers. And a lot of this well drilling has to do not with, yes, about our generation, but not just our generation, the generations that are coming after. Because a well is not a temporary investment. A well is a long-term investment. All right. If you want temporary water, go drink out of a creek someplace. Does that make sense? A well, though, is we're drilling a well. That has a connotation that we're staying here. Because you don't just drill wells and then go off and leave. You drill wells and you stay there, okay? Because it's going to give you a constant supply of water. We see here in verse number 15, the Bible says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And then we see the very first thing that Isaac started doing, verse number 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Hey, listen, folks, I'm not interested in, digging. We have been given here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church a tremendous heritage of wells that have been dug. We've got good water. And you know what? I ain't interested in digging a new well. I'm not. I want the same well that my dad and Pastor Ross and Pastor Robert Ross and that line of people back there on that back wall, okay? You know, I want the same water that gave them their satisfaction, all right? I'm not looking to dig a new well. And I think that's important because we see here, listen, people are going to, the world, the Philistines are going to try to stop it. They're going to try to fill it up. They're going to try to stop it. In every place that we read about tonight, and we're going to read about several of them, that has a well, someone had the foresight to know that people who lived there needed a well. We know they need a well. We know they need water. What am I going to do about it? Okay? And this doesn't just fall on Abraham's generation. This is for Isaac's generation too. Okay? And this is for our generation that we don't allow the junk of the world to be filled in. I don't know if, I know Luke was with us. And I think Asa was with us. We went to Brother Josh's and the Davis property out there. And we found, honestly, one of my favorite places to camp with the teen boys. We found a well. And this well was probably 30 feet deep, 25, 30 feet deep. And about, 5, 6 feet across at the bottom. And it was a hand-dug well. a hand-dug well. And somebody, and one of the next things I want to talk about, it's a place of labor. Wells are a place of labor. You know, wells don't just, you don't just be walking across and be like, oh, that's a nice 40-foot hole that's got crystal clear water in the bottom of it. That doesn't just happen, okay? Wells require a lot of work. Wells require a lot of labor, but we were at this well, and we looked down in it, and if those guys would remember, we looked in there, and the whole bottom of it, and I don't think it was by happen chance, all right? It's kind of hard to hit, you know, a fairly small hole with a, you know, 10-foot stick, all right? But somebody had probably taken sticks and what, you know, kids, you know, you see a big hole, what do you want, you know, why do every, watch the kids out here at the, you know, the little things. They're throwing rocks in it. You know, if it's a hole, you got to throw a rock in it. Well, they didn't have rocks, so they're throwing sticks in there. Well, the whole bottom of it's full of sticks. We couldn't get to the bottom to get water. The water was there, but you know what happened? It had been filled up. So you know what we did? We sent one of the guys down inside. All right? All the way to the bottom, and we tied sticks to the rope, and we sent the sticks back up to the top. You know what we did? We cleaned the well out. Why? Because we wanted what was in the well. All right? And that was, I don't know how long ago that homestead, there's no road back there. The house has been long, long gone. But the well's still there. I don't know how long the homestead was. But it gave guys in 2021, 2019, I don't know what year it was. It gave us water. It gave us water too. But we had to clean the well out. Had to clean that well. The well is a place of labor. You know, digging a well is a lot of work. This is the cheater way, quite honestly. All right? A lot of you would have like a cistern or a shallow well. We call them different things around here at your property. And most of them are 20, 25 feet deep. Around here, that's you can hit water pretty easy at that depth. And shallow well, it's just a shallow. But you start looking at them, and you know what? All of them are lined with brick. Or stone or something. And you know what? Somebody had to dig down that. They don't have excavators that do that. All right? Somebody had to, by hand, take a shovel. Everybody know what a shovel is? Have we lost that in America? Okay? Everyone had to take a shovel, and they had to dig until they couldn't throw it out of the hole. And then they had to put it in a bucket, and someone else had to pull it up out of the hole. Okay? And we've lost a lot of that. A well is a place of labor, 25, 30 feet deep, 5 to 6 feet in diameter. For us to have a place, a well that we're going to talk about tonight, it's going to require work. Blessed Hope Baptist Church didn't just appear. There's a lot of work here. Okay? Go back and look on some of the pictures. And you know what? You see a lot of those pictures, men working. A lot of men that some of us don't even know. But they're working. Yep. They're giving their time. You know that's your most valuable. Well, time is your most valuable asset. Yes. Time is your most valuable asset. The church is not a place for specialists. The church is a place for service. Amen. Think about that. You know, it doesn't take a specialist. I know we have, you know, Brother Chad, we have special well drillers now, okay? But any one of us could go out and honestly dig a 25-foot deep hole. Okay, physically, if you were able to, it doesn't take science. It's not rocket science, okay? You dig a 25-foot hole, and eventually it's going to fill up with water. Okay? And you know it really takes basically a very simple, primitive tool called a shovel. Okay? It's not hard work. It is hard work. It's not complicated work. Okay? It's not complicated work. It takes a lot of work. It doesn't take a lot of talent to dig a well. It takes a lot of work. It takes a shovel. It takes sweat. And it's probably going to take blisters. Yes, but listen, you're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for the next generation. Charles English and Bob Ross and Bob Towns, those guys, those men and their wives and a host of others, I'm not trying to skip people, you know, and men that are still sitting here tonight, they did it with these. Yes, sir. All right? And it wasn't because they knew exactly what they were doing. All right? But they just did it. Yes, Because why? Because it needed done. It was done for my generation. It was done for your generation. A well is a place of labor. Numbers chapter 21. We're going to use our Bible some tonight. I want you to see these wells. Numbers chapter number 21. It's interesting here. Obviously, servants dig wells, right? I mean, Isaac's servants were the ones digging the wells. I want to show you something else here. Numbers chapter 21, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana." Isn't that interesting? The princes, Moses is the lawgiver. Moses said, "We got to dig right there." And it's their staves. Now, I probably should have looked that word up, but I'm pretty sure stave is not the same thing as a shovel. All right? It's basically sticks. You know what? They started, all right, we're going to dig it here. And you know what I think? I think if the nobles were doing it, I think the people were probably doing it too. Right, yeah. All right? But it's a place of labor. We see that. They digged. The servants, Isaac's servants, dug. It's a place of foresight. It's a place of labor. It's a place of fighting. It's a place of fighting. A well is worth fighting for. Back in Genesis chapter number 26, we read that Isaac's servants dug two different wells. Exodus. And he named both of them interesting names. He named one of them Esek, which means contention. And he named one of them Sitna, which means hatred, or actually kind of a connotation of an accusation. All right? And he named both of them because why? Because they strove. There was a fighting about it. If you read about the Old West, when frontiersmen first went west, and the ranchers started dividing out the land, you realize that one man can control hundreds of thousands of acres if he controlled the water rights. He could control everything around it if he could control the springs and the water rights. Because why? Because you couldn't live without it. And it became very much a place of contention, a place of fighting. People would kill to have water. Okay? It was a place worth fighting for. There is something special about a well. Hey, folks, this place is worth fighting for. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a place worth fighting for. All right? The well is a representation of the foresight and the labor of those that have gone on before us. Isaac's servants strove about this well. If you will, go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible says, verse 15, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the well of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the hosts of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." You know what? This well water, three men were willing to sacrifice their lives to get what? A little cruise of well water? It was important. It was worth them sacrificing for. It was worth them fighting for. It's a place of fighting. This keeping the well, keeping your water rights is not going to come easy. Why? Because the Philistines are going to want to stop it up. Okay? You know why people don't like Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Have you happened to read what Pastor put on the church sign? The church should be the moral conscience of the community. And quite honestly, most people don't want a moral conscience. They want to live like animals. They don't want somebody saying, you shouldn't do that. They don't want somebody out there saying, you shouldn't kill babies. They don't want somebody out there saying, we don't want alcohol in our town. That's right, it's our town. Get your stinking alcohol out of here. Go talk to our police force. 95% of the problems that we have in Jasonville is because of booze. They don't want to talk. people don't want us to talk about the immorality. All right? They're okay. Well, we shouldn't have drugs. Everybody's okay with talking about that. Because everyone can kind of see that. But they don't want to talk about the immorality. They don't want you talking about pornography. Why? Because everyone's got it. That's why they don't like this place. It has nothing to do with the standards. It's about we're the moral conscience of this community. And people don't like it. All right? But you know what? We're the well. And we're going to get to that in a minute. The well is essential for the community. You don't have the well and the community dies. A long and painful death. It's a place worth fighting for. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of sacrifice. These men, these three men, sacrificed for the water from this well. They broke through an opposing force. We have a place here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that has been fought for by generations of men and ladies before us. Sacrifice. It's those blisters. It's those Saturdays when they couldn't go tend to their own things because they was at a work day at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's sacrifice. I think the Christian life should be defined by sacrifice. If you're not sacrificing, how are we, you know, Christ sacrificed everything. Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. If we're not sacrificing, how are we like Christ? It's a place of sacrifice. The well takes time to dig. The well takes money to dig. Have you checked at well prices lately? I did when I was building my house. I mean, $7,000 to $10,000, easy, all day long, for them to come drill a well. All right? It costs money. This place costs money. Okay? It's a place of sacrifice. I like this one. Let me review. It's a place of foresight. It's a place of labor. It's a place of fighting. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of promise. It's a place of promise. Go back to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26 is probably the main chapter as far as has to do with well drilling or digging wells. Genesis chapter number 26. So Isaac had dug two wells, Esek, which means strove, Sitna, opposition, like an accusation or hatred. And then he drilled another one, or dug another one. It's called Rehoboth. Rehoboth means wide, and a spacious room there to grow, basically. And the Bible says they digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And then he left. He left that well. Now, like, remember what I said earlier. You drill a well, why? Because you're kind of going to stay there. But then he left that well, and he went to a place called Beersheba. Beersheba. And Beersheba basically means the well of the oath or covenant. I believe that a well is a place of promise. Place of promise. Isaac and God had sweet moment of communion here at this well at Beersheba. There's a lot of decisions I've made as a teenage boy. A lot of decisions I've made as a teenage boy right here. As a young man right here. As an adult right here. That's a sweet place of communion. That's a sweet place with God. Those are good memories. A lot of the folks in this room have either been saved here or saved as a direct result of here. It's a place of promise. The servants came that day after they were digging this well at Beersheba. They came to Isaac and told Isaac, hey, we've hit a well here. We've hit a well. Verse number 25, Genesis chapter 6, 26, look at verse 25. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. It's interesting, verse 24 is the Abrahamic covenant reinstated to Isaac. Okay? You know what Isaac did as soon as that? He built an altar, and then he dug a well. He built an altar, place of sacrifice, and then he dug a well. Why? For the next generation. for those to follow. He dug the well. If you will, go over to, verse 32. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water. We found water." And it's called Beersheba unto this day. It's a place of promise. I believe that a well is a place of refreshment. Got one reference here, or two actually. Psalms chapter 84. Obviously, I think this is kind of goes without saying. I remember my dad telling me when he would, there's a well over at Lahr Farms, and had the old hand pump, and there was always a cup hanging on that pump. And my dad would always, I remember all coming in, because he worked there for years. I remember coming in from doing hay, and we could pump that up, crystal clear water, cold, and just refreshment, instant refreshment. And I remember him telling me that. I believe that a well is a place of refreshment. Psalms chapter 84, verse number 6, Bible says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca," Baca means weeping, weeping, "passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." You know what? I believe that in those tough times of life, God gives us the well. That place you can just go for encouragement. That place you can go for refreshment. I want to read one verse to you in Proverbs chapter 10. I want to encourage you. Proverbs chapter 10, I need to do better at this. The Bible says, verse number 11, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." A well of life. All right? And you know what? When people come to church, you know what our words ought to be? A well of life. Amen. Just give them somebody something, a refreshment. All right? Give them encouragement. It's a place of refreshment. The next one, I believe the well is a place of discovering God's will. A place of discovering God's will. This is pretty neat. I want to show you these places. Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. The well can be a place of discovering God's will. Genesis chapter 24. Look at verse number 11. Bible says, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Shortly after that, Rebekah comes along and does exactly what he had asked God for her to do. You know what? You know where the servant found the wife for Isaac? At the well. He didn't go out. He didn't go out to the party place. Right. He went to the well. Right. You know, the well is a really good place to find God's will for your life. Okay? It is. Why would we send our young people out to the university?
Yeah, come on.
Go to the well.
Right.
Go to the well. It's a place of, I'm so thankful I have a church family. This well has been a wonderful place to find God's will. You know, almost all of my relationships have come as a result of my relationships at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Even my relationships outside of the church have come as a direct result of my relationships inside the church. And I think God has a unique way of building this infrastructure of people that you can know, and they're not going to influence you to do the wrong thing.
Amen.
All right? The opportunities I have been given have all been at the well. Business, relationships All right. I know I didn't find my wife. She didn't grow up here at Blessed Baptist Church. Okay. But you know what? I went to a well. I didn't go out there just haphazardly looking. I went to a place where there were people that were coming there. What? To get water. To get water. All right. I got a point about that in just a moment. Why do you want to be unequally yoked with unbelievers? The well is a meeting place. Go to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. So Isaac found his wife at a well. Genesis chapter 29. Then Jacob, verse number 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. Not the same kind of well, different well. And behold, there's like 300 references to well in the Bible. Most of them are that kind of well. So I had to kind of sift through all those wells. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go out and feed them. And they said, We cannot till all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Shazam. Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she kept them. It came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob found his wife at the well. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 2. There's a lot of interesting things that happen around wells in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 2. Verse number 15. Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And wouldn't you know it? Now the priests of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, How is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. That kind of cracks me up if you kind of think about it. So the guy's got 7 daughters, and he's like, Man, there's a guy out there that's willing to help my daughters, and why didn't you bring him home? I got 7 of you I got to get rid of, you know? But you know what? Moses not only found his wife Zipporah there, I don't know, but if Moses wouldn't have been on the backside of the desert, if he wouldn't have stopped at that well. And if Moses wouldn't have been on the backside of the desert, he wouldn't have seen the burning bush. And if Moses wouldn't have seen the burning bush, would he have ever been the man of God? Because look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Why? Because he sat down by a well one day. Why? Probably because he needed some refreshment. He was running for his life, and he was probably just thirsty. And God orchestrated everything to bring him into Jethro's family, the Midian, to put him on the backside of the desert. Why? Because he stopped at a well. He stopped at a well. It's a place of discovering God's will. The well is a meeting place. The well is a place of calling. The well is a place of calling. I want you to think about this, and I had never thought about it until I read it. Judges chapter 7. We got to hurry. Man, I'm running out of time. Judges chapter 7. Now I want you to think, wells in the Bible aren't like what we consider wells most of the time, a lot of the time. Many times in the Middle East, the well was actually a rather large hole in the ground. And they actually had steps that would go kind of around the outside, kind of a spiral staircase that would go around the outside down to the where the water was. That was, many times that was. Sometimes it was, I think, more of what we would think of as a well because the Bible says they drew water. So it means they pulled it up. But then other times the Bible says they went down and then came back up. So there's different kinds here. But this is interesting. I believe a well is a place of discovering God's will. It's a place of calling in God's will. Verse number one, and we'll explain this. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched where? Beside the well of Herod. So the host of Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. I guess in my mind, and I'm not saying one way or the other, I don't know which one it is. I guess in my mind that I've always thought that, you know, Gideon's men went down to like a brook and or like a big pond or something, and that was where God tested them. But they were camped right beside a well. If you're going to get water, this is my thinking, if you're going to get water to drink, and Gideon said, guys, go get a drink, where would you go? I personally would probably go to the well if I could access it, okay? And you know, I don't know, maybe it was a brook, but for sake of illustration, we're going to say it was the well. 300 men out of however many were however many there were, let's see here, the people were 20, and their return of the people, 20 and 2,000, that was the ones that went back. I should have read it here, but 22,000 went back, and God said, hey, you still got way too many guys. And he said, go have them have a drink. They all went down there, and some of them drank one way, and some of them drank the other way, and God said, I want 300 that, what was it? Place of calling. I want those 300 men. The well is a place of calling. The well is a place of, next, the well is a place of consistency. The well is a place of consistency. A well must be attended to. Let that settle in. You realize that we have been spoiled as Americans with having running water?
That's right.
All right? For hundreds and hundreds of years, if you wanted water, you went and got water. That's how you had it, water. You ran and got it. That was running water, all right? That if you wanted water, you had to go get it. We've been brain... What if Rebecca decided that day she didn't want to go get water? What if Zipporah decided, oh, I don't feel like going... I'm going to live stream the water show today, you know? Whatever. Listen, hey, church attendance is important. It is important to go to the well. Okay? It's important to go to the well. It's important to go to the well. Why? It's a place of consistency. We have modern convenience to make us spoiled and lazy. Go to the well to get a drink. All right? Go get it. All right? Don't wait for it to be piped into your house via whatever avenue you want it piped into your house. If you want something from God's word, go get it. All right? Show up. It's amazing how many problems in people's lives that don't faithfully attend church could probably be solved if they was just faithful to church. Because our pastor gives us the word of God. All right? Place of consistency. You got to go to the well. Just show up. All right? Go to the well. It's a place of refuge. I'm glad that we have a place of refuge from the world. 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel 17. Almost done. One more after this one. 17, verse number 18. Or let's look at 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them that they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And the wellman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. I put down here, the well is a place of refuge. Place of refuge. And you know what? When the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know one place I feel like I can come and I can just relax. I can put down the guard that it seems like you have to keep up to keep the world from bombarding you all the time with the junk. You know, it's the house of God. It's the well. All right? I can go here and a place of refuge. This well was used to save the lives of these men. Used to save their lives. Interestingly, if you look up the word, the pit that Joseph was thrown into. Remember way back in Genesis, Joseph was thrown into a pit. All right? If you actually read that, the brothers wanted to slay him and then throw him in a pit. Reuben said, wait a second, guys. Let's just throw him in the pit. And if you read it, you know the reason he did that? The Bible says so. He did it so he could deliver him out of their hands. He said, guys, here, let's just throw him in the pit. Pit there can be translated cistern, all right? Prison can be translated prison or cistern, all right? You know what they did? They said, you know what Reuben said? Put him in here. Why? Because Reuben was expecting to come back and pull him back out. We see that later. Reuben was planning on coming back, and he came back and said, oh, my goodness, what have you done with him? He was planning on letting him go, all right? But you know what? For Joseph, I know we say, yeah, Joseph was thrown in the pit. But if Joseph wouldn't have been thrown in the pit, he probably would have been killed by his other brothers. You know what? For Joseph, that pit was a place of refuge. He may not have understood it at the moment, but it was for his good that they threw him in that pit. Place of refuge. I'm thankful for this place of refuge. Lastly, it's a good note to close on. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, look at verse number 6. Bible says, verse number 6, now what? Jacob's well. Wow. Hang on a second. Think about that. That statement right there. Jacob's well. Who did we just talk about way back at the very beginning of this? Isaac, Abraham digging some wells. And then who was to follow him? Isaac digging some wells. And I have a feeling that Jacob probably dug some wells too. I should have researched it. How many years that well had been providing water? I don't think it hadn't. I would be foolish to think that that well had not at some point, yes, been partially caved in or filled in. There's been too many battles, too many wars, but it's still known as Jacob's well. And something amazing happens there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Why? Probably because he wanted some refreshment. All right? And it was about the sixth hour. It's about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what? A well is a place of salvation. Amen. Place of salvation. Water is essential for life. Men for all of time go to wells, not because they are easy to construct, but because they are needed. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a well of salvation. It is here that people many times, I want you to think about this, many times people come here to satisfy a need, all right? And they leave with being satisfied in a completely different way. just like this woman went to that well to be satisfied with her physical, temporal needs. And she left satisfied in a completely different way. You know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is that, you know, it is that way. People come here looking for groceries. This happens Sunday. People come here looking for, you know, peace. People come here looking for, name it. Friendship, companionship, business, you name it. People come here name whatever they come here. But so interesting how so many times they find something that they weren't even looking for. It's a place of salvation. It is here that people come many times for something to satisfy a thirst and live with the living water. Bro Chad, why did you drill well? Well, I'm kind of paranoid, quite frankly. All right? I don't like relying on the government to give me things that I need to live. All right? I know how important water is. I don't want to live on the running water of someone else's well. All right? I want to have my own well. Think about this. Do you have your own well? You know what the Bible says? And it shall be in you a well of springing water. You know what springing water is? It's a spring, right? It's water. My brother-in-law and sister live down in Kentucky, and they get their drinking water from the spring that Coca-Cola, right? Is it Coca-Cola? I think it's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola basically owns this spring, but in order for them to own the spring, this is where they get like their spring water. You guys all thought you was drinking real healthy water by drinking bottled water. Realize most of it just comes straight out of the ground someplace. Just thought I'd throw that out there for... Anyway, so they go get their... There is literally a pipe sticking out of a rock, and there's a constant flow of water that comes out of that rock. And you know, they take those big 5-gallon jugs of water and they go fill those jugs up with water. And that's what it's great water, wonderful water. All right? Springing water. You know what? It's springing water. Hey men, you know what we need in our okay, I know that this is a well and I'm thankful for this well. All right? But I want something for my kids at home too. I don't want them to have to rely on going to church 3 times a week just to get water. I should have something at my house too. And you know what? God gives us the ability. He puts within us springing water. All right? God does that. A well. I want my own relationship with God. I want to be able to go to my well every morning and get something to satisfy me for that day. All right? Yeah, you know what? I'm 100% thankful. And it's kind of 2 different thoughts there. But you know what? I am, you know that row of people back there on that wall, men and ladies that are sitting in this, you know, half the ladies in here have probably had me in the nursery at some point, all right? I am thankful for the well that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm thankful for all those things that God's given us. And I am ecstatic about the next years that are in front of us. Why? Because we've got a well. And by God's grace, we're not going to let something stop it up. Okay? We're going to keep that well flowing. Why? Because people need the living water. All right? People need something. And they can find it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you just, Lord, it's just kind of a neat Bible study. Lord, kind of chasing the thought through the Bible. Lord, it's just kind of a challenge to me, some thoughts. I'll probably never look at wells the same again in the Bible after I've done this, had this experience. Lord, I pray that we would just value what we've been given here, value our heritage, the faith of our fathers. And God, thank you for it. Thank you for our pastor and the stand he's taken, and Lord, just the well water that we're able to partake of every service, God. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for salvation, God, and that gift that you've given to me. And Lord, how there's something just different inside. It's that living water. It's a springing water. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to always be faithful. Help us be faithful to your house. Lord, help us to be always looking for your will in the right place. And God, I pray that you'd guide our lives, direct us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.